keeping the phone connected to the internet, which is why the lesson wasn't recorded live this morning and won't be recorded tonight. But they are being recorded in the back, and we will get them on the website, share that on Facebook, so that any who desire to share the video lessons or to look up, hopefully we'll get the PowerPoint up there too, and we'll be sure to get that going. So lessons are still being recorded, and we'll continue on with the services without doing it live this evening. So it's good to see everybody out. It's always wonderful to come and to study the Word of God. A lot end up choosing Sunday as a day they dedicate to God, or at least Sunday morning, to come together to worship God. And that's most of the time, the only time, that people really keep Jesus on their mind, or they keep God on their minds, or that they act upon the Christianity faith that they proclaim to have. So what I want to talk about this evening is to talk about living daily with God. Daily living with God. Making our lives continuously be about living with God. Because it's something that we should be doing daily. It's something that we should be acting upon daily. That Christianity is a 24/7 lifetime commitment. It is not a commitment just to take Sunday mornings and come to worship. It is not just a commitment for Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday nights. But it's a lifetime, 24/7, everyday commitment to God. To give your lives over to God. To live daily with God. One point to bring out is that we daily talk to our Lord. Daily talking with God. Going to God in prayer. Daily, continuously looking to God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, simple verse here, says, pray without ceasing. As he goes through and lists some of the things, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything. Give thanks for this as well of God Christ Jesus for you. And it's bringing up, you know, pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean that 24/7 that we're praying to God, but we're praying continuously. You look at the life of Jesus and the way he lived his life, he was always praying to God. He prayed so much to God that his apostles asked him to teach them how to pray. They noticed how important it was to Jesus to pray, that they even sought to learn to pray like our Lord did. We need to be continuously praying. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, I like pointing out this verse about prayer and how often we're to pray, because in chapter 6, we start in verse 10, we also think about putting on the whole armor of God. And it goes through and tells us to make sure we shod our feet, we wear the breastplate, we put on the helmet, we carry our sword, we carry our shield, and we put all this on and we're ready for that spiritual battle. We're ready to go in. But as Paul continues on his point here, and he goes in verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So he goes forth and he lists all the armor of God, and then he says, praying always. We have all this, and then we pray to God that he teaches us to use it rightly. As we walk in righteousness, that we put on the shield and we carry the sword, the Word of God, and we carry our faith, our shield, and we know how to use it correctly. We continuously pray to God. Even having all this armor on, he says, praying always. So that we can speak boldly. So that we can do the work that God has intended us to do. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, as Jesus was about to do a parable of the persistent widow. A widow who was consistently going to the king to get what she wanted and what she needed. The first thing that is made mention here, it says, then he spoke a parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And as we go through the parable, he makes that point. That we always ought to pray and not lose heart. That the answer sometimes is no, and we have to accept it. Sometimes the answer is not right now, and it happens down the road when you're not expecting. Sometimes the answer is a yes right away when we see it take place, but we have to pray continuously. Always pray. Pray, y'all. There are so many verses throughout the Word of God, and I'm hitting a few of them, but we're not going to hit them all. There are a lot of verses in the New Testament that talk about praying. Romans 12 and verse 12. Romans 12 and in verse 12. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. So it's going through, and you can start in verse 10 where it's telling us to be kindly and patient, listening to things that we need to be doing. We need to be applying to us. You start in the beginning of chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It talks about being transformed and not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds to the will of God. And here, this is part of that transformation, that we continuously pray to God. Steadfastly praying. There's an important and a very important thing that we should be doing as Christians, that we need to be doing as children of God, as talking to our Father, talking to our God, continuously talking to Him. In Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 2. Colossians 4 and in verse 2. As it here, once again, go ahead and read verse 1 with me. It says, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be diligent in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us the door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. It says, continue in prayer. And then in the very next part, it says, pray for us. There's so much, there is so much that we can be praying about, that we should be praying about. When you think about it, we need to pray for ourselves, praying for our own strength, praying for our own health, praying that we're able to continue to fight for the good fight, continue to be praying, seeking His forgiveness. And when we, you know, have done that, we would pray thankful that He has been willing to forgive us. We pray for our brother and sister in Christ. We pray for those who are in the world and has yet to obey the gospel. There's so much that we should be doing in prayer. Continuously pray. There's a lot of scriptures that people do study on prayer. There's a lot of scriptures on prayer. We need to take these examples and see how important prayer is. Since this lesson isn't just focused on prayer, we're going to move on to our next point. We look as we walk daily with God, as we talk to God, we need to listen to God. We need to be listening to His Word. Once again, I'm not saying that God is going to directly speak to us, that we're going to hear a voice and it's going to come, but we're going to open up His Word and we're going to search it daily. Seek the truth daily through His Word. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The King James translation says, study to show thyself. Being diligent in how we show that we are approved, we can rightly divide the word of truth. And the only way to rightly divide the word of truth is to know the scriptures, to open up the Bible and seek out the truth, to search it daily, as we have the example here in Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 11, Acts 17, and in verse 11, we know that through the trips of the apostles and all that Paul had done, not everybody was ready to receive this teaching of Christ, but here he finds those who are willing. So it says here, Acts 17, 11 says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks
prominent women as well as men.
Mary brings out, it says they searched the scriptures daily. They were ready. They were eager to hear the truth. But they didn't just take a word from anyone. It says they searched the scriptures. When they came and they taught these things, they're like, okay, now where did the prophets prophesy about this? All right, yeah, okay, that was in Jeremiah. That was what I said. The same thing should be today. When someone comes and teaches something, we open up our Bibles and we search to see if whether it's true or not. When we got a question of our own, we open up our Bibles and we find the truth. We look for what God has given us. We got to be willing to search the Scripture. That's where our faith comes from. It's Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing the Word of God. The thing is, once again, we can hear a lot of things. Faith comes by hearing. We stop right there. The question is what are we listening to? What is it that we are reading? What is going into our ears and being applied to our conscience? Because our conscience starts to say, well, you know, everybody else seems to think it's okay. Everybody else seems to think it's okay to have a fellowship hall and okay to have instrumental music and okay to divorce for whatever reason and okay to live in adultery and in homosexuality. And, you know, if you look at the world is saying all these things are okay. And if that's all we listen to is what the world has to say, and all we're going to listen to is what other people are doing, instead of opening up the Bible and see what God has to say about these topics, and that's what our faith is going to be relied on. That's what our faith and our conscience are going to be seeking. Is all these other teachings and doctrines that do not line up with the Word of God. In James chapter 1, and in verse 19. James 1 and verse 19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So here it starts off, it says, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak. We need to apply that to our faith. That we're not so quick to say, well, I think this sounds good. Because there's often a lot of things that when you bring it up and you talk about it, it sounds like a decent idea. You know, it sounds like, man, that could do some good. But the question is, do we have authority to do such things? Do we find that God has okayed it through His Word that He has given to us? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17 tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. We have everything we need in the Word of God to know what it is we need to do. So therefore, when we have a good idea, we need to search the Scriptures and see if it's okay with God. There are many Scriptures that we can turn to and see if we're not supposed to go beyond. If you also look in verse 25 of James 1 and verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. See, it once again says, not a forgetful hearer. One who searches the scriptures, one who listens to what it has to say, and doesn't just go in one ear and write out the other. We have to be willing look into the scriptures. You know, time and again, Jesus made the answers, have you not read? You know, when he was being questioned about certain things, when he was questioned about marriage, you know, have you not read? Did not say all the way back when it was written in Genesis that he made them in the beginning male and female. It's plain and clearly that the answers need to come from. So if we're going to walk daily with God, we need to listen to what God has to say. We need to talk with God and go to Him in prayer. And we need to be willing to work with God. We need to be willing to work daily with God. Continuously ready to go out and do His work. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2.
And then in verse 14 says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Jesus gave himself so that we could be saved. Jesus sacrificed himself, as we talked about this morning in the lesson this morning, that he came from heaven and became human and suffered and died as a human so that our sins could be washed away. But not only that, so that we can be joint heirs in Christ and have a home in heaven with him. But in doing so, that means we're going to work with him. We're going to be doing what he was doing upon this earth and trying to help save us. We are going to follow in his footsteps and teach his commandments. We are going to work daily with our Lord and Savior.
James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, throughout the remaining of the chapter 3, 26.
Here it talks about faith with our works.
Starting in verse 14, it says, what does it profit, my brethren?
If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm, filled, but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What good does it do to claim that you believe it's going to happen, but you show it? One of the things that we read in the adult classes was that they claim to have a faith in God, but by their words, they deny it. By their actions, they deny it. Do we deny our Father by our words? Or do we act on faith and we help out and we do what is needed? I mean, what good would it do for Abraham when Abraham took Isaac? God told him to offer Isaac up as a sacrifice. And Abraham could have went, God, I know you have the power to revive my son if I do kill him and sacrifice him to you. One way or another, you'll make sure that your promise comes fulfilled. But I don't think I want to fall for it. It does no good to say you have faith and then not do it. We have to have faith and act upon it. Be willing to step forward. Saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son, and being willing to come forward and be baptized into Him, washing away your sins. I mean, all honesty, and if you think about it, if you truly think about it, being dunked underwater and raised up, how does that really save you? Well, no matter if you're going swimming, no matter if you're taking a bath, and no matter if you just fell in a big puddle of water, it doesn't. But when you come forward and you are doing it for that reason because you truly believe in the command that he has given us, that's what saves you. It's your faith that you are being buried with Christ and raised up as Christ raised from the dead. And your sins are washed away and you have become new. That you become a Christian. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Here points out that we're to be the light of this world. Matthew 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Here it brings it. It says, what good is salt if it doesn't have anything? Who's going to say, pass the salt if it doesn't add anything to the food you're pouring? What good is a light if we put it under a basket? If we put it under the book? If we hide it? There's no point in turning it on. So he's saying, what good is it for God to add us to his kingdom if we're not going to shine our light? If we're not going to be active in his work?
if we're not going to go out and plant His seed, what good does it do to have us in His kingdom? It says, therefore, you go. Go and do your work so that people, when they see your works, they will glorify God. It's again not the attitude that they can say, well, you're doing a great job, you've got a great attitude about it, which it does end up wanting to be. It comes out. But also when they ask you the reason for it, you can come out and say, because I'm doing all things wholeheartedly unto God. I'm doing all things wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, and in verse 23. Here it says, then he said to him, them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory. And his Father, and in the Holy Spirit, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, we have to daily take up our cross and follow Him. Be willing to suffer daily, if that's what it costs. Be willing to put all the temptations that hit us every day to follow Him. We don't have to take up the cross like He did, that physical cross that He carried. And today's mind image, the way people have idolized the cross. The cross is not what saves us. The sacrifice of the person on the cross is what saves us. The cross was a shameful thing. Understand that. The cross was a shameful thing to talk about during this time period. The thieves were hung on the cross. The murderers were hung on the cross. So when Jesus took this cross, and He had to carry it, and He wasn't able to bear that load. It comes down to that point that the things that are hard for us to carry, the temptations that we face, that we have to put aside. And those who may make fun of us, and sometimes the family members that we may not get along with anymore because of our faith. We have to be willing to bear that cross. Willing to follow the footsteps of Christ. Let's go into every day choice. Every morning that the Lord is long-suffering and patient, allowing His patience to come upon us, allowing another day for us to examine our lives to make sure that it is right according to His Word, is the day that we have the opportunity to bear our cross. We have the opportunity to make sure that we have asked for forgiveness of sins. Another day to thank God for the sacrifice that He's blessed us with. And another day that we can shine a light unto this world, to those who have yet to obey Him. So we want to extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who desire to obey the gospel, to any who may need the grace of our gifts. If there's anything that we can do for you, we let you know it in advance.
You stand at the bar, someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of why. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Sadly you'll stand if you're unprepared. Trembling you'll fall on your knees. Facing the sentence of life or of death. What will that sentence be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be?
supper is available now, or if it's good to make it earlier today, you'd like to take it out.